Good morning. May I just apologize for starting late? I apologize also for the chairperson who said to me that she is on duty this morning in the mini plenaries. And so she's not going to be able to come and chair this meeting. I have asked the members whether we could proceed and whether it would be proper for me to chair the meeting. And there's agreement that we should proceed. And let's then proceed with our meeting. You're all welcome. And thank you for making yourself available, PPO, for us to have a conversation and a brief from yourself on the 27 Appropriations Bill. Let's go straight to the presentation from the PPO.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you again for the opportunity to allow the PBO to present. Chair, we're going to go straight to the nub of the matter in terms of what we were asked to do. So first of all, we were asked to look at a comment on the bill with also a specific analysis that is focusing on priority expenditure areas to consider for efficiency gains and possible expenditure pressures, I think, that we face. So that is the nub of the presentation, and we're going to focus very specifically on that matter. I'm going to ask my colleagues, Nelia Olandi and Dr. Mapula Sekatani, to present from this point. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Prof, and morning, members and colleagues. There's only a few things that I want to highlight in terms of the legislative mandate of the Minister of Finance in terms of the Appropriations Bill. So the Minister of Finance must table proposals for each department in terms of their programs as well as the economic classification. So I'm highlighting this because I want to make a point at the end of the presentation in terms of this legislative mandate. Any amendments of the Appropriation Bill in terms of this commission must be discussed with other relevant committees. So, for example, the portfolio committees for specific sectors. The last point that I just want to highlight in terms of the legislative mandate is that the recommendations from this committee allows funds to be released for expenditure. So the recommendations to the House will release the funds for expenditure on the national level. Just a few points in general. The Appropriations Bill appropriate money from the National Revenue Fund. It also lists amounts that are specifically and exclusively appropriated. This is also very important because if money or amounts are specifically appropriated, any amendments to these amounts can only be approved by a legislation or approval from the House and from this committee. So any amendments must come to this committee for approval. It prescribes conditions for spending the funds, determines the use of unspent funds again, if it has been specifically appropriated, it can only be this committee that can approve any changes or amendments to these unspent funds. It provides for the authorization of expenditure before the adjustments appropriations. It also provides for the delegation of powers of the Minister of Finance. Just in summary of all the amounts in the Appropriations Bill, the Appropriations Bill consists 45.34% of the total allocations from the Revenue Fund is appropriated in the Appropriations Bill. And when you look at the other proportions, compensation of employees consists 19.7% of this amount. Transfers and subsidies, 69% of this proportion of the budget. And this 69% also includes capital expenditure, because the transfers are going to other spheres of government and institutions for expenditure. So in the next slide, I'm just trying to illustrate the priority areas of government. And just to give you a few of the priority areas, you can see social development spends 20.95% is appropriate to social development. That's the biggest proportion of the national sphere of government, or the biggest proportion of this appropriations bill. Then we have the police, gets 11.3%, COCTA 10.2%, and the other big one is transport. With this slide, I just want to illustrate to you some of the changes over the years in terms of the appropriations. So this also illustrates the priority policy areas, which are linked to priority expenditure. So the first one is where we found a big increase was with social development in 2011, but it's also slowly decreasing the proportion that we spend on social, and then it's stabilizing in the outer years. Another priority area that has changed since 1997 is police services. We had a big proportion expenditure on police services, but it's also decreasing. It decreased over the years, and it flattens out over the outer years. Another one that we can just mention is education. You can see education started just below 10% in 97. It's fluctuating a bit, but now education, you can see, is definitely a priority expenditure area. It's increasing slightly, and over the medium term, it's still increasing. But just also to demonstrate in terms of defense, we also started with a high proportion on spending on defense. It went down quickly, and it's still going down. But also, this slide also illustrates that there's always a trade-off between expenditure. If the one, there must be losers and winners. So where we need money to increase, we really have to reduce others, because there's no new money coming in at this stage of our cycle. So the next slide, one way of trying to identify efficiencies in expenditure trends is to correlate or to compare departments, expenditure trends of different departments and different economic classifications with each other. So I'm presenting just a list of the highest departments with the highest transfer amounts. So you will see in terms of health, for example, 92.3% of the expenditure is transfers, and they spend 1.2% on administration. And you will see, in terms of this slide, you will see there's definitely a correlation between transfers and administration costs. The higher the administration cost, the lower the transfer as a percentage of total expenditure. But if you look at the smaller departments, you will find, if you look at small business development, the percentage spent on administration is always higher, because there's fixed costs linked to administration, for example, the minister, the CFO, HR exec, so there will always be fixed cost in terms of the administration program. Then on the next slide, I'm giving you a few examples of specific departments. The first one is social development, for example. They only spent 0.22% of the administration cost of the total expenditure. But when you deduct the total amount of transfers from the total expenditure amount, they actually spend 40.1% on administration. So this analysis shows a total different picture than what you get if you include the transfer payments. The next example that I want to show is DPME. This is one of the smaller departments. You will see DPME spend 18.2% on administration cost of their total expenditure. They also do a transfer for youth development. And if you deduct this transfer from the total expenditure, the actual expenditure on administration is actually 34.3%, which is quite high in terms of the services that they deliver. And when you go further and you even deduct the amount that they spend on consultants, the administration cost even increases to 41.9% for DPME. The next one, also with high transfer expenditure, is human settlements. You can see their administration cost is 1.4% of total expenditure. The transfer amount is 97.2% of total expenditure. When you deduct the transfer cost, it increases the administration cost to 49.1% for human settlements. The next example I've taken is health. It's also one of our bigger departments. They also transfer a lot of money. But here I just want to illustrate. Before you deduct the transfers, the administration cost is 1.2% of the total budget. The transfers are 95.2%. If you deduct transfers, the administration cost is still only 15.7%, which is much better, or it seems like that they do the work much more efficient than some of the other departments that goes up to 40% if you deduct the transfer payments. I even went further to see what the influence of consultants is on this department as well. If you deduct consultants, contractors, and agency support, it's still only 20.2%, much lower than some of the other that goes up to 30 or 40%. The reason why I also deducted the contractors and agencies because they contract in a lot of doctors, which is not reflected in the compensation, but under the goods and services. That's why I also included this with health. So by looking at current or current expenditure or historic expenditure in terms of the appropriations in the current bill that we're discussing, we can get a sense of which departments will have pressures for the new budget. So in terms of, I included the percentage spent, the preliminary expenditure as at the end of 2016-17 year. So yeah, I just want to show police spent the entire budget and the budget from the preliminary outcome for 2016-17 to the new budget, there's an increase of 7.5%. So they might still be able to spend within their budget. But if you look at some of the other departments, small business spend 90.8%. And if you do the calculation of the increase from actual expenditure to the new budget in the appropriation bill, it's a basically increase of 21.1%. Telecommunications, just the opposite. They've only spent preliminary expenditure shows 86% for last year. Their budget reduces, and that shows a reduction of 22.2%. Which other one? Okay, we can also look at public enterprises. They've only spent 94.7%. But I think they will also be able to cope with a 5.1. It's still low, but it's a 5.1% increase. So the only one that I actually can show with that might have pressures, but one can look further into this budget, is water and sanitation. They've spent just slightly over 100%, and the budget actually reduced by 2.8%. the current budget in the appropriations bill. This is basically just to try and illustrate which departments might have a bit of pressure with the current expenditure, with the current appropriation. The next slide is just to discuss a few of the points or to highlight some of the points in the appropriation bill. The amounts that are specifically and exclusively appropriated are for compensation and employees and the conditional grants. National Treasury also indicated those are all the amounts in the bill with a little asterisk risks. So the main point that I want to make with this is that these amounts, the amount and purpose to which it was appropriated can only be amended by or in terms of an Act of Parliament. So basically only this committee can approve any amendments or changes to these amounts. The in-kind allocations, if in-kind allocations, they are also specifically appropriated. If there's any money unspent of in-kind allocations, this committee must really monitor this, because it's also only this committee that can approve the reallocation of these funds. And there's quite a bit of them that's currently in kind, specifically in health. There are five different amounts that are currently in kind in health for different purposes. And just almost to conclude with the discussions is, conditions for appropriations may be imposed, what's also in this bill, is such as allocations may be stopped. But if any allocation is stopped, National Treasury must show it in the quarterly performance reports. So this committee must be aware of any allocations that has been stopped during the year. I've actually indicated the use of unspent funds. Something else that we need to really focus on, and this committee must take cognizance of, is appropriations must be disaggregated in the bill per division, and per economic classification. The only department that's not been divided into programs and economic classification in this bill is Parliament itself. It's only one amount that has been appropriated, the 1.7 billion appropriated Parliament, and Treasury also made a note on this appropriation that Parliament must appropriate it in terms of the Financial Management of Parliament Act. Last year this didn't happen. There wasn't an additional act to appropriate Parliament's funds in terms of programs and economic classification. So in terms of this, there might be a recommendation from this department that there must be an additional appropriations bill from Treasury side, or Parliament must appropriate in terms of and make it legal, the expenditure for Parliament, because last year it hasn't been appropriated in an Appropriations Act of Parliament. Just to summarise, it's basically just summary of what I've said. Oversight is also in terms of the adherence to legislation, and this is the point that I've just tried to make, that Parliament is spending without being appropriated as required by legislation. This committee also needs to take advice and communicate or discuss with other committees if they want to recommend amendments to the bill. The specific and exclusive appropriations fund can only be revised by an Act of Parliament, and the correlation between administration costs and transfers could identify possible efficiency gains through standardization of administration costs, and preliminary expenditure numbers as at 31 March 2017 gives an indication of possible pressures for the current year in certain departments. Yes, and then The last issue that I also raised was the question about the legality of the expenditure of Parliament. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much. Prof, any addition from other members? Okay. All right. Members, here we have the presentation. Questions of clarity, proposals, and so on. Honorable McLaughlin, all right, let's take you first. We'll see other hands when they rise.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, thanks for that. Most for quite interesting reading. I'd have been interested to see a further breakdown of the other departments as well, but maybe when you have more time at your disposal, you can do things like that. But if I could just ask you, just a couple of things I wanted clarity on. If I remember rightly, in the budget speech, I think it was, or perhaps in the budget review, it indicated that municipalities would get, I think it was 9.2%, 9.3%, something like that. In here, you're showing a different figure. Now we're over 10%. Is that because that includes something other than just municipalities? Is that including whatever is going to be spent on traditional affairs? Because it's all one department. And I just wondered whether that was it. And then on slide 8, CGTA, is that COGTA? So, because according to this, in 1997-98, we spent nothing at all. Is that correct? Did we not appropriate any money to local governments? Were they left to fund themselves totally prior to that? No, I just wondered why we started zero for that one and the yellow one, which is which one? Health. Health and COGTA both start at 0%. I thought this was COGTA. What's happened then? Is that social development? I beg your pardon, I'm sorry, it's just we don't have it in colour here, so it's a bit confusing. The one that takes the big climb up, is that social development? Okay, sorry, I see that. COGTA starts at about 5%. Okay, thank you. And then the other question I had was on slide 15. It was just interesting to me to see that, water and sanitation on slide 15 is having a decrease of minus 2.8% in their percentage of the preliminary actual into the new financial year, and their in-kind allocation is way more than anybody else, so 3.4 billion. And it's just that would ring a bell with me in terms of oversight, because we have oversight over the department. Once they've passed on their 3.4 billion, it's very hard to go and follow it up from here, because it goes to provinces and water services boards and all sorts of things, so that this money goes all over the place. Is there any way from your side, you could maybe make a suggestion to us as some way we could have oversight over that in a more efficient way? Because at the moment, we can't go directly to a local water services board or water authority or something like that. We can go to the department, and the department can take us and show us provinces, perhaps, as they did with health. But it's a very involved thing, water and services, because it has so much overlap with national, provincial, local, and it's very difficult to then find out where the money goes and what it's being allocated to. And I'd just like to hear your comment on that. Then if I could just ask for a little bit of...
Before that, sure. Also perhaps, just to write on your question, also perhaps a breakdown between water and sanitation, so that we can see what's going on. Yeah, thanks.
Then just in general, when we look at the table you gave us where it showed the percentages, general one on I think it's slide 9. No, so that's not percentage. That's the costs themselves. You know, when one looks at the percentages, often a percentage is a misleading thing in the sense of, you know, 0.2% of a billion and 0.2% of a million are very far away from each other. But on paper, it doesn't look that different. And when you apply your mind to this, is it perhaps misleading when we look at a department that's perhaps got a very low administrative percentage against a very high budget amount? They may in fact be, you know, on a per capita basis, spending four times as much as another department that's actually got a higher administration percentage. And perhaps you could do some kind of breakdown on those lines for us, so that we could see per person employed in that department how much money is being spent, kind of idea. All right. Thanks very much. Thank you, Chair.
Any other Honourable Fick and Honourable Snokwanyan? Honourable Fick.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I just have comments and then one question just for clarification. But before I say that, before I make those comments, I just want to state that again, it's an informative presentation which we should be using, and the same as I said with the information we received the other day from the FFC, this information is of an equally high quality and standard and useful, and it will only be useful if we use it. But as long as it stays in this piece of in the presentation, it will be work that has been done by the PBO that is, you know, that we wouldn't use it to our full benefit, and obviously it would be sad. So there's three items that I want to comment on, and that's obviously my colleague has commented on the admin costs, the correlation between your admin costs and your transfers, and that is very, very disturbing. And if we as a committee sit here and then just do the work so that we meet the requirements in terms of the Money Bills Amendment and Procedures and Related Matters Act, and then just so that we could pass the bill on the 8th, and then we can go on recess, then I believe we should rather go on recess now and not even worry about the bill. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that we need to look seriously at making adjustments, because this government borrows a substantial amount of money to repay debt, to make up the deficit, but in addition to that, we also repay the debt. So the debt service costs that are included in our budget are not the only amount that we pay for debt, because we have to repay the debt. And I was reading a document last night, there's a substantial amount. We're paying about 70 billion rand on repayment of debt, and that was the capital redemption. So my point, that I'm making that point because now we have some departments that are paying high amount of, are paying high amount for admin, and you probably find those are people that are being paid while doing shopping around the malls, because I'm not so sure what value they're adding to the department. Your admin costs are mostly non-value-adding functions. So it's just disturbing to see a high admin cost versus in correlation with the transfers. It's also disturbing to see your departments. And please, if you want to, shoot me before the weekend, not after the weekend. But a department like social development is increasing at a rapid rate. Now, why is that happening? It's because we cannot create jobs, in my view. So we should rather focus on your job creation functions or like, for example, we know that your small business development department is failing, and I'm not so sure in the short term that we'll ever get some value out of that department. I'm just using that as an example. So what I'm saying is that and then obviously another department you'll see in the presentation is health, which for me, I would rather allocate money to health than to allocate it to social development, because it's your healthier people who cannot fend for themselves, whereas I'm sure even the social, the beneficiaries of your grants will agree with me that they'd rather be working than to go and stand in a long queue for a grant. So it's also just disturbing to see that, you know, we're growing rapidly there. And then my question that I had is with respect to the statement made that your parliament is not complying with your legislation. In other words, the appropriations should be made in terms of votes or programs and economic classifications. Now, what is the implication of that? I ask the PBO, is that, does it mean that Parliament cannot spend more than, well, yeah, I was going to ask, more than that 45% that they're allowed to spend until the appropriation bill is passed? Or does it mean that any spending by Parliament is illegal or unlawful? Maybe that's a nice word. And then maybe just the third question on that is, and I think it's alluded to in this presentation, is that there must be now another appropriation bill that is passed in order for Parliament to spend that money. Chair, thank you.
Honorable Snokanyana.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I would like to start by just making an observation which has already been made in terms of administration costs, because I also wanted to just say that this is an area of serious concern, that so much money is being spent on administration rather than real things that are important. More worrying is the fact that even DPME is spending so much on administration, when I would expect them to be the ones that are monitoring the other people so that they do not abuse their abusing the budget by spending so much on administration. And then in terms of the small business development, you know, I think it's quite important that we've got an increase, but it's also an area of concern that we want people out there to benefit from this department, and we're happy that there's an increase. But now, if they underspend to this extent, I don't know, what would be your take? What are the challenges? I know that sometimes people say it's only 3 years old and all that. Is that the reason, or is there something else there? And then I think the other thing is just on telecommunications and postal services also. I think at least there is a decrease in the budget, because that is, yeah, it's most of my things are just real observations that these are areas of concern. But just also to add that this document is quite a useful document, because then it guides us as we go about with our work. Thank you so much.
Anyone else wants to comment? Okay. Let's get the responses. We'll allow for more question if that happens. Yep.
Honourable Claflin, the percentage for quota will be more here, because it also includes other expenditure. The 9.2%, the equitable share that they transfer to local government, will form that 9.9% of the entire year, that in terms of the division of revenue. I also tried to do the calculations, but I couldn't really. But anyway, we can still do further calculations in terms of the spheres of government. What I would try to do is try to add some of the transfers from national to the provincial and local government to calculate the real division of revenue. You know, this the division of revenue, and then the transfers. So I tried to do that calculation, but it will take a bit of more of my time. What else? The water and sanitation, what's really going on there? Did I include water and sanitation? We can do further analysis on all these departments if you want, but at the back of the presentation, I also added a few more because I didn't want to go over all of them when we present. But we can really go if you can request us to do a few more. It's not taking that much of time because Treasury, I must compliment Treasury, they've got the entire database of the appropriations bill on the website. So it's just so easy to extract all this information from that database. And I see Treasury is here. So it's fantastic all the information that you get from this year, yeah, to get all the information. So we can do further work on basically on all departments. And the monitoring of the in-kind, that's really also why I mentioned it here. We really need to try and figure out how we can monitor that and whether that information is available on a quarterly basis. So I can also discuss with Treasury where I can find the information if it's not on the database, and so we can do that analysis as well.
Thank you. Just a general caution to when we're looking and we're comparing numbers across departments is that when we're comparing spending and allocation decomposed, that is to say the share allocated within the department's budget that goes to transfers or personnel costs, admin, goods and services, consultants, etc., it's a pretty difficult exercise to actually compare, strictly speaking, across departments because departments' line functions and primary mandates differ. So a certain department may actually have a lot of frontline staff members, for instance, like health or education, and consequently the share of the total budget going to personnel costs is a lot higher. And on McLaughlin's point, when you're comparing percentages, it doesn't relay the entire story because the actual devil is in the detail. And then also when you compare, you should actually compare to what is an ideal baseline for that department. And then one needs to bear in mind that in a certain context of slow growth in revenue and slow growth in allocation, that there are certain items that are discretionary and certain that are non-discretionary. So you can actually slow down spending on goods and services, but it's very difficult to actually curb your personnel numbers or cut them down. So you may see a larger share of resources allocated to administration or to personnel costs compared to goods and services or other line items as the overall pool of resources available decreases. So I think it's critical to bear that in mind. There may actually be a good reason, I mean, I'm not saying there is or there isn't, but for DPME to allocate a significant share of resources to consultants because it's doing monitoring and evaluation, they don't have all the personnel in-house, so they use consultants. And maybe that's justifiable. It requires further detail rather than just making certain pronouncements based on high-level data. On this particular division of resources and allocation towards personnel costs, the PBO has previously done work looking at South Africa's wage bill, and one of the components we focused on is resources dedicated to admin costs or admin personnel versus frontline personnel. We're in the process of updating that work and would love the opportunity to come and present it to the Appropriations Committee pretty soon. Thank you.
Just on that, if you could also, when you do that, if you could also have a look at functions that might be a duplication within the departments, and that would be costing the state unnecessarily. That would be helpful. Yeah. Okay. Any further responses? No. One. Okay. Okay.
What are the implications? As Honourable Fick said, it might be that Parliament spent unlawfully because the FMPPLA also requires Parliament to appropriate per program and per economic classification, and that hasn't been done last year in terms of appropriation act.
Chair, just on that one, Honourable Chair, and with respect to the question that was raised,
I think it would be important for appropriations to also meet with the chairs of the joint committee, Honorable Smith and Honorable Mohai, just to raise this issue as well, because they do have oversight over the budget of Parliament and the administration. So I think it would be an important discussion, Chair, that this committee has with Honorable Smith and Mohai. Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Shopestola.
Thank you, Chairperson. My worry is about Parliament. I think we should not just call the chairpersons. We must call the committee to appear before this committee and Treasury, because to me that is very serious. And I would like you to repeat what is it that as Parliament we have done which we should not have done.
So I'm not sure whether the Treasury didn't get the proper information from Parliament to be able to appropriate per program and per economic classification. I'm just speculating why Treasury only appropriate one amount. We don't know what the negotiations or discussions were between Treasury and the executive of Parliament. But last year, Treasury indicated Parliament must appropriate according to the financial management of Parliament, and we haven't seen that appropriation. There wasn't a separate bill tabled with a budget of Parliament last year, and I don't know whether they will table that appropriation bill with this year's budget, because we haven't seen it. So if Parliament tables an appropriation bill with their budget and it's approved by the House, then it will be legal. But that didn't happen last year, and I think we should prevent it not from happening this year.
Thank you, Chair. I think I would request with respect, Chairperson, that that committee and Treasurer appear before this committee and give us precisely what happened and why it happened. And we must make assurance double so it doesn't repeat. And because as Parliament, we have got to lead by example. And we cannot hold departments to account if we cannot account ourselves. I just find it unacceptable.
Okay. We will... We'll ask the Secretariat to have a look at our program and see if we can fit that kind of a meeting. I am not sure as well, in the light of the packed program between now and the 8th, whether we could do that before the debate on the bill, which I think is necessary that it happens before the bill. But we must find time to do that. But yes.
Can we do it in the evening?
Yes, that's why I'm saying we can.
In the evening, because, you know, if it happened last year and it was wrong, and we are aware of it as this committee, if we go on without attending it, it puts a question on our credibility as this committee. Why all the halabaloo? We need to deal with this thing before we debate again.
Honorable Manana.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. My apology for coming late.
What I wanted to find out whether PPO have indicated to Parliament that they, what is happening is not correct, so that they can comply. Because you are the one who are supposed, we are supposed to support us and advise us correctly.
Honourable Member, we also assist the committee, the Joint Committee that look after the finances of Parliament, and in one of our analysis it has been mentioned to that committee, the Joint Committee, because I'm also responsible to do the analysis for that committee.
I just wanted to raise to alert PPO, perhaps in the committee, there are 10 departments that are allocated funds for infrastructure, and one of them is trade and industry. I'm not so sure what infrastructure, trade and industry is doing. So if you could look at that and advise us. The others are fine, but trade and industry, I thought there's something not quite right. So please have a look at trade and industry and that infrastructure allocation. Okay. Members, anything else? Okay. Looks like we are done for the morning. Yes, yes. And just so, yes, Honorable Bishop.
I thought Treasurer is here if they wanted to say anything.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I have been listening particularly to the questions around the parliamentary appropriation, the preparation for parliamentary. Unfortunately, that's not a vote within my own usual competence. I have messaged our colleagues to do with that. So I think you would be happy to come back at your discretion to provide a fuller account of the issues around the parliamentary vote. I think it might be a discussion that might be worthwhile. On the chair, on the size of the different administration budgets, I think the slide is interesting. I see trade and industry has a $731 million program, one administration there. Health set the second largest on this slide, $512 million. I think those findings are interesting and probably do merit further discussion. Sometimes departments misclassify things that are actually service delivery in their program on administration, but I think the committee, the parliamentary budget office is correct to draw attention to this. I think it does merit further discussion and looking into.
Which then means that when that committee, that oversight parliament and this committee meets, National Treasury must be in as well. Yeah. And people. Okay. Honorable Chairperson.
Chairperson, I just wanted to caution that there must be no committee that feel it can be exonerated from accountability. We need to make sure that the resources, the scarce resources of the state during these difficult times are spent correctly and in compliance with legislation.
Yes, I think the other issues that we almost missed is the issue you're raising about the use of consultants. Yeah, please have a separate prepare a separate report on that. I advise that you look at the presentation that was given to us by PSC as well, was it last year, where they showed a whole lot of departments who are, some of them really going to town with consultants. If you could have a look at, because we think we need to really nip that in the bud now. It's been spoken about so many times, and there are departments which just don't really take that seriously. One would understand in specialized circumstances like health, for instance, science and technology. There may be a few others, but I mean, justice and constitutional development, when there are so many well-educated lawyers, doesn't tell you a good story. So let's have a look at that. Thank you very much, PPO. Thank you, National Treasury, for your presence as well. We look forward to having a further conversation on the Parliament issue and these issues that we've asked PPO to have a look at. Now, honourable members, just one more issue: the public hearings in Khayelitsha. The Secretariat is informing us that matter has been approved. Just a few things minor things that need to be dealt with. It's approved. Everything is in order. There is a flyer as well that is prepared, which members will have access to. So that engagement is on track. We are getting there next week. So members should prepare themselves. Thank you very much. Now, yes, Honourable McLaughlin.
Sorry, Chair, on a related matter, just to do with the new draft program, I note for the 22nd of June, we are scheduled to sit from 9 until 5, but I know there's also going to be a plenary on that day, so I imagine we're going to have to curtail our activities at 1 o'clock. Rather than 5 o'clock. Thank you. The President will be coming to answer questions on that day, I heard yesterday.
Thank you.